turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Yeah. I want to share with you a word that I hope will encourage your hearts and minister to you practically where you are in life. This is a wonderfully comforting portion of Scripture in the Gospels. It's just an awesome thing, and I want to encourage you with it. Before I do, and I just want to say this, and it'll make maybe more sense when I preach here in a moment, but when we share here this morning, I hope that this is not your total life in the Word. If it is, it's probably not that great a life, you know? I'm here to encourage you and to make some proclamations about the Word of God and to stir you up to where I hope you have a life in the Word, because we can't live our life in the Word or with the Lord vicariously through someone else. It's what we're always training our youth and discipling in Wichita and here and in other places, people to have a personal, intimate, knowing relationship with the Lord Jesus and with His Word. And so I'm gonna preach this Word, but I'm going to preach it with the conviction that you all are a royal priesthood, that you all, 1 John 2, have an anointing within you that teaches you. It's what the Apostle John writes. And so you can have a vibrant, living relationship with Jesus through the Word of God. And I pray that the grace of God would give you hunger for that. And know that we can't cover everything in 52 Sundays, you know, in a 365-day year. So I pray that the Lord gives you grace. And I am aware of what this can do and what it cannot do. And so I hope that this is salt to you and encouragement to you in your personal walk, because I pray all week asking that the Lord would give me direction that might bless you. Let's pray for the reading of the Word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you for the Scriptures, for the anointed words of God that are about Jesus. And I pray that through the weakness of this vessel, the weakness of us as human beings, that you would touch us and stir us and do something beyond a moment of oratory. Do something beyond just a man giving more principles. Lord, we've all heard a lot of sermons, but we're praying for fresh bread from heaven, fresh word that would stir us up and bring us closer to you. We love you. We thank you for your love for us. And we give you this moment in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, the Scriptures say, "At that time, Jesus declared, 'I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your glorious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father.'" What a statement. The true revelation of the Jewish God-man born of a virgin is only held in the Father. "And no one knows the Father, Yahweh, the maker of heaven and earth. No one knows him except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." It's supernatural to know the Lord Jesus. It's supernatural to know the gospel. No one can do this with their natural mind. It takes a supernatural revelation. Matthew 16, after Peter makes his confession about Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, he says, "This wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood. It was revealed to you by my Father in heaven." And so this revelation about who Jesus is more than a religious understanding or a doctrinal mental assent. This is a real living revelation that must happen to us. Do you know him? Have you met him? Have you received that revelation? God's great revelation is his Son, Jesus Christ. And it must be given to more than your mind. It must be revealed to your heart if you're to be transformed. And so the Son reveals him, the Father, to us in his plan, which is salvation through Christ. 28 then is what I want to focus in on. "Come to me." Listen to these words from Jesus. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Verse 30, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There is no way around it. Life is hard. Life on planet Earth is hard. That doesn't mean that it's not marked by wonderful moments and blessed moments. But you're not in reality if you've not understood that life on planet Earth is hard. Things hit us unexpectedly. Expectations and disappointment. Expectations are not met and we are disappointed. People do things relationally. Economic shift and change. Bodies, things happen in our bodies. And we are struck with living in a realm where the curse can still operate. It's hard. It's hard and it's a burden. And it puts multiple yokes on us. Besides all the circumstantial stuff I just mentioned, living inside yourself is quite a challenge if you've not noticed. Your heart is loyal one time to the Lord Jesus, and then your flesh catches you, and you are focused on money, sensuality, ego, whatever it might be. It's tough living in a not a fully redeemed soul and body. That day will end, but that day is not now. And because of that, there is a heaviness to this reality. There are yokes that we get under. And Jesus, in this passage, in this time, is preaching to a people who are under great yokes. They are under slavery to Rome. There's economic problems. People are starving. There's not the social agencies that we have today. There's not the hospitals we have today. Sure, Jesus is healing some people, but people are dying painful, short deaths by multiple diseases that are happening. There are multiple hard things in that day when Jesus was preaching. Besides that, there are religious fanatics, supposedly the spokesmen of God, who are adding to the words of God and making it unattainable, unreceivable, the love of God. Religious guys who are arguing over how far you can walk on the Sabbath. Can we eat the egg that the chicken worked to lay? And they're sitting down and adding and adding and adding on top of people, yokes. And that is true for today, even in America, even in Western society, and everyone in this room is being tempted to walk under a yoke, to have a burden, to be heavy laden. In that culture, in that time, yokes, as you most all know, was simply a wooden kind of built thing that would tie beasts of burden together so they could labor together. It was a tough existence, but it was a yoke that would be put on the necks and one beast to another beast so that they might plow and they might work and they might labor. These yokes, this are used metaphorically throughout the scriptures. This yoke of being tied to something, to work and to labor. In fact, when they would take a young steer or young cow, they would tie it, they would yoke it to an older, more experienced, broken steer so it would know what to do, but it was tied to it. It was tied to it. And any energy or, you know, passion it had to run and to be free was just gone. Some think there were spikes within these yokes that would keep them from moving too much. In the scriptures, yokes are metaphorically spoke of in multiple passages. It speaks of bondage and of slavery. There's the yoke of slavery. Yokes of slavery were literally happening with Israel to Rome. They're not self-ruling. They're being taxed. They're being abused. They don't have their own life. They're having Herods sell out on them and Levi's, who became Matthew, who was a disciple, selling out and collecting taxes from their own people. They're being oppressed and they're under slavery. But that slavery is nothing compared to the slavery that they're feeling from the bondage to sin, to sickness, and to predilections of evil ways. Yokes were talked about in the scripture of slavery, being an addict and a slave to something. I wonder if you're a slave to something. Slave not only to a circumstance, slave to not only an ailment, but a slave primarily, I think this is the biggest point of slavery, to thinking, wrong thinking. Thinking that's riddled with shame, riddled with regret of lost years, riddled with regret of relational decisions. slavery. Sometimes we're yoked to these ways of thinking. Ego, pride on the other end. That passion to try to accomplish something and be something that just, it's like a slavery, a heavy thing on us, trying to accomplish, trying to get things done. Bondage or yokes are used to speak of afflictions, which are things outside of us, and we spoke of them, whether they be relational trouble from other people, the result of their sins, the result of whatever. Afflictions that come in our lives, and they will come, and Jesus promised, in this age, you will have trouble. They're promised to us, and they're often yokes, and they get on us, and they do what they're not supposed to do. Afflictions are allowed by your Father to train you, not to enslave you. And there's a big difference, and we'll get there in a moment. Yokes are used as punishment, or as metaphorically of punishments for sin, punishments for discipline from the Lord, discipline from others because of sins we committed. Yokes are even spoken of in relation to the commandments of God. And we know from Romans that the commandments of God were never supposed to free us. In fact, Paul were right. The law came so sin would increase. The law came to finally convince us that we could not fulfill what God had called us to do. Romans 7, Paul were right. When I heard, do not covet, it wasn't a freedom command. Every covetous desire that had ever been stirred up in me, the very righteous law became in me something that produced sin and produced more sin. The law came so sin would increase. And law living is slave living, and it is like being under a yoke. When you're trying to obey God from your flesh, you're trying to do the right and not do the wrong. Oh my, the slavery. Oh my, the yoke of trying and a conscience that's bothered all the time and trying to do the right stuff all the time. I'm telling you, it's slavery. And lastly, there is the slavery of legalistic teachings or ceremonies of religious leaders. In fact, some were sharing with me the other day that sometimes it was called, these Pharisees would have levels of yokes of teaching. And their teachings kept growing as they added and added and added to what God said. Deuteronomy 4:2 says, do not add or subtract from my word. Just do my word. And they are adding, these Pharisees are adding, 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 how and what the believers or the covenant people are supposed to do. And that happens today. We read a book, we watch a television preacher, or you show up and you listen to Passionate Sam. Warning, apology about to come. Sometimes unwittingly, with passion in your soul, and I feel this, feel it, I feel the presence of the Spirit. I love the Lord Jesus. I believe He's the King of heaven and earth, and that He's coming back with our global invasion to bring, and that the church is the means through which things happen, and I start thinking those thoughts, the Spirit starts stirring me inside, and then I get into my soul, and I get passionate about what I believe. And then I call people to prayer, and call them to discipleship, and call them to faithfulness to God, call them to certain things, and unwittingly, I can end up putting yokes on people, and I shouldn't do that. You disciple only this way. You pray only that way. You read your Bible this way, as I testify and witness, and I want you to know that I personally and publicly apologize for any yokes I've ever put on you. And it feels like this. It's more in the timbre and the voice of Sam that you're hearing this call that's you feels on your life, and it feels heavy. It feels like you'll never accomplish it, and there is no rest there. That's what my yokes feel like. And I am sorry. I really am. It's a God-fearing thing to stand and preach the Word of God. It really is. And you wish that you weren't mixed, but we just are sometimes. And in passion, I want to say, come on, pray. In passion, I want to say, come on, forgive one another. In passion, I want to say, shut off the internet. You know what I mean? I want to say, make disciples. It'll be the best and most fun thing you've ever done. And all of that may be true, but it may come in a way that's not in agreement with the Spirit in your life at now. And it might put a yoke on you. And I am deeply, deeply sorry. I was praying and I felt the Spirit say in me, release people from your yokes. I try hard. I don't want you to do my vision. My, you got your own. Jesus made you for a purpose. We want to serve you in your vision, and I hope we're doing well in that, but I know that sometimes in passion, you can get up here and you end up putting yokes on people, and then they feel guilty. I've noticed it sometimes when people can't make eye contact with me. They see me at Jacob's Well, and they look the other way. Not because they're mad at me, they might feel guilty sometimes because, you know, I haven't been there in a couple weeks, or I didn't read, or I didn't disciple somebody, right? You know? And I just want you to be free, because here's my conviction, is that you should have no other compelling force in your life than the Holy Spirit of God. That's it. It's the only place that there's rest and easiness and lightness, which is your portion. Anything that's heaviness and burden and weighing you down, I tell you, that's probably coming from the flesh of someone. And it may be your own sin, it may be circumstances, and it may be a religious teacher who in passion tried to get you to do something that you weren't necessarily being called to by the Holy Spirit. So, may the Lord free you from even me. The inferred part of this passage is basically, Jesus says this, there's a prompting, come to me. There's a promise, I'll give you rest, which is so powerful. Anytime you see Jesus do that, he's fully speaking of the Sabbath rest, the seventh day when God rested, who never gets weary. But he rested, and God, Jesus saying, I can give you rest. Hebrews chapter 4 will say that Jesus and his finished work is the rest. The human heart was made to come and to rest. I'll give you the rest if you'll come to me. Number three, there's the process. The process isn't just sitting down and taking it easy. The process is taking Jesus' yoke upon you and learning from him in order that you might have rest. That's very important for you to know. There's a law in the spiritual realm. You cannot wear two yokes at one time. I really believe that. You're wearing some kind of yoke today. You're wearing the yoke of self, the yoke of fear, the yoke of anxiety. We had a young man in Wichita stand up and confess, first time there, works with a ministry in Wichita, and said, I don't just have one yoke, I'm wearing 3 to 4 at least. And I need help. I need help. There's a yoke of the expectation of man that gets on you, and you're serving that thing, and you've got your life in a performance-based way. I tell you, I'm tempted to it all the time. Are y'all going to like me today? You going to like the sermon today? Visitors are here. Y'all, and all of a sudden, I could be that beast of burden. Wondering if Larry likes me. Wondering if Papa Joe likes me. I've been under that burden before. He didn't put it on me. I put it on me. Expectations. Concerns. Jesus doesn't call us to that. He says, take my yoke on you. My expectations, and I'll give you rest. The proof will be that the yoke is easy, that the burden is light. That's the thing. There'll be peace. There'll be that sense of ease, no matter what it is. And let me say this, and I think I'll say it again, but I'm not saying that Jesus doesn't call you to hard things. That's not the point. The point is that Jesus gives you the kind of heart that can walk in the midst of hard things, and it's easy, and it's light. This is the, as we spoke before, this is the kind of Jesus who can give a man a smile in the face of an angel in the middle of being stoned, Stephen, in Acts 7. This is a powerful thing. So these are the things. The inferred revelation of this is you must leave other yokings in order to come under him. And that's the process. You can't get into Jesus' yoke and keep all those yokes, those other ones. You just can't. You got to off yoke before you on yoke in Jesus. You do. He doesn't allow you to come with that stuff. That's the beauty of the call to discipleship. You must deny yourself. You must leave everything, the opinion of man, everything. I want you to come to me. I tell you, those aren't hard words. Those are words of emancipation. They're words to set you free. Because when you're addicted to mommy and daddy, and you're addicted to family, and you're addicted to money, and you can't be free. You can't. You've got to turn and offload and go. Does that mean I still walk in family? Yes. Does that mean I still have money? Yes. But I'm free, and I'm easy, and I'm light, and I'm ready to steward these things. Number two, you must practically yoke yourself to the Lord Jesus, again, by total faith and absolute surrender. That's how it happens. A leaving and a cleaving. Total faith, faith in Jesus, and absolute surrender. And then thirdly, the proof that you're yoked to Jesus, as we said before, is a literal sense, a palpable, real sense of rest, easiness, and lightness. And the fruits of the Spirit words for that are righteousness, joy, and peace. Everyone in this room, I have a good message for you. It's similar to messages we've said before, but I felt so burdened about it this week. It is not our portion to live as slaves. We are sons. He has set us free from slavery. And I wonder if you're putting up with slavery. As we've shared this illustration before, and I'm sure you've read, when the Emancipation Proclamation, Emancipation, however that's said, in Abraham Lincoln's time was given, and they were set free. Even the law was passed, and slaves were set free. The majority did not go free. Did you know that? They didn't go free. Because they didn't know anything else but slavery. Slavery gave them some provision. It gave them some meaning and sense, and they're like, freedom? What am I going to do with freedom? And I think we believers are addicted to slavery sometimes. I don't know what I'd do if I wasn't legalistic. I don't know what I'd do if I didn't do that habit. Now, we're under the burden of it. We're feeling the weight of it. But we don't either know that we don't have to be slaves, or we're addicted to being slaves. The field to be plowed before the believer is harder than any other field in the world. The Sermon on the Mount or being sent to martyrdom might be examples. Jesus doesn't make it easier. That's not the point. Jesus changes the heart so you can overcome in the hardness. Yet when one is yoked to Jesus, it's the most restful, easy, light labor in all of the earth. And it is. And here's where we're moving in. And everybody be patient with me, if you will. I'm going to say a few closing comments. And then I want us to off-yoke today, if we could. If you've got a few moments, we're done quite a bit early. But I want you to spend some time with me and allowing the Holy Spirit to free us from the stuff that's yoking us. I'm preaching this word to you, not just so you get a word in your heart, but in agreement with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And He is wanting to set us free. I was praying the last couple days, and I kept hearing, I kept sensing yokes just coming off people's necks and hitting the ground. People getting free from junk that has bound them and putting on the sweet yoke of the Lord Jesus. And I want to say this to you. If you are living with a sense, as a believer, of weight and anxiety and heaviness and I'm never doing enough, I'm going to fail, I would guarantee you, you have the wrong yoke on. If you are sensing that on the inside and conviction, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit loves you and He's talking about your wrong yoke. He loves you. He wants you to be free from the opinion of man. He wants you to be free from the sins of the past and shame. He wants you to be free from economic bondage. He does. But that freedom is only going to happen in the process of you off-yoking and coming to Jesus and allowing Him to work in you. And here's my encouragement to you. I believe that you don't have to off-yoke by yourself. I believe, in fact, some of you have felt that dual, like almost you've got a split personality inside you. And let me just run this by you. Have any of you ever walked in your life and you've thought, wow, I really feel dead inside. I feel apathetic in my spiritual life. I'm really sense that that's not good and wrong. And then over here, you're apathetic and don't care. All at the same time. Has anybody ever had that? Has anybody ever had, wow, I've got this habit in my life. It's just a funky thing. I know that it's wrong. I'm feeling, and over here, you're still walking in the habit. Two things happening at the same time. I want to give you good news as one who walks in the Spirit. That is good news. What's bad news is if you're walking in apathy, you're walking in sin, you're walking in these things, and you don't care. But I'll tell you, you've got two things happening inside you. In your spirit, The Holy Spirit is trying to speak to you about these things. He wants you free from your ego. He wants you free from your anxiety and from your worry. So you're hearing that voice inside. But on the other side, you're having trouble getting it off of you. Does anybody else know what I'm talking about? Who's hearing voices? Hey, come, hey, Samuel or somebody, unplug my lights. I can unplug my lights. Can I unplug my light? You unplug my lights. I want to see who I'm talking to today. We've got the sermon videoed. Oh, there you are. Now, we're moving into weird moment in the service, okay? I know it's awkward. I'm going to make fun of it being awkward right now so it won't be awkward. But it may still be a little awkward. Listen, you don't have to walk with the yokes that are on you. Praise God that you're hearing two voices. Praise God that you're having two levels of consciousness inside you. Pardon my language. Praise God that you care that something's not right. I want to encourage you. Now, here's the deal, though. You can go beyond that. You can go beyond the knowing in your spirit what's wrong and still walking in the wrongness. You can. You can offload the yoke. Because Isaiah 61 says he came to, the anointing is on Jesus to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captive free. Freedom's yours. It is. Today you do not have to be addicted to substance, to your body pleasures, to your ego, to the expectations of human beings around you and living that way. You don't have to be captive to bitterness. Bitterness and unforgiveness that twists the heart and how it thinks about relationships. You can offload that and receive the rest of Jesus. I wonder what your yoke is this morning. If you know what I'm talking about bearing yokes that are not Jesus, would you please say, oh my? Okay, so I got a little bit to do. We got a little bit to do. And we can do it this morning. Because we don't want to just preach the word, we want to do the word. Everybody with me? Amen? So right now, we're going to spend some time off-yoking. Okay? And here's what we do. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us in this. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is there a yoke on me and a burden on me that's not of you? And would you help me identify that clearly? Will you do that with me? Let's do that. This is the time. This is the moment. The presence of the Holy Spirit's here. He's our teacher. He's our convictor, not Sam. Not even you. Let the Holy Spirit be the master of your soul. And He is willing to speak to you and just clearly give that to you. So if every head would bow and every eye closed, if you could, let me just ask us to receive the ministry of the Holy Spirit right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you love us. Jesus, we agree with the word. You who began a good work in us, you'll bring it to completion. We believe you're the author and the perfecter of our faith, and that you are the lover of our souls. And you are saying to us, to every individual, come to me. Ye who are burdened and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I pray now for a moment, in this moment of silence, that you would specifically clarify for us what yokes of bondage that we are tied into. Clearly, Holy Spirit, speak. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see. As you are the Lord of our faith. Now I'm asking you just to simply, quietly, to pray that prayer directly. Show me any yokes of bondage that I'm living under. Listen, just listen to him. For those that don't know what to do with themselves and wonder what we mean by listen, I'm asking you to listen. Just listen to your heart, listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, as we continue in this lab time, would everyone look at me? If you in any way heard or sensed, or maybe you had it during the sermon, but you got now, you sensed some form of yoking. I'm not going to ask you what it is or embarrass you, ask you to do anything, but if you sensed some yoking that's on you that's not from Jesus, would you just nod your head like this? Okay, great, great. So we're in the right room. That's awesome. Isn't that awesome? You just got clarity on your bondage. Clarity. Now what's cool is that you get to offload that. How do I do that? You do it like you got saved. You do it like you do anything in the grace of God. You allow Him to do what you cannot do. You offer it up and you say, this is my bondage. This is my yoke. I agree. I add my amen. Now would you heal me and release me from that? Because listen, and this is where we're going to end here. There are two ways to do this. You individually offload it, or you secondly go, I'm having trouble getting it off of me, and I need help. And that's where we're the body. And I'll end with that in just a moment. But right now, would you pray with me one other prayer? Bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, we now turn over these things to you. We literally do it by faith. Lord, this yoke of whatever it is, bondage, we give it to you. Now transform us and take your strong hand and lift it up off of us. We say yes. We want free from this and that and the other thing. In Jesus' name, amen. We do these moments publicly with a lot of people, so you can do them privately with a little people, and in fact, yourself. So please continue this week. Last thing, is there anyone in this room that might say, that you might say really quickly, and I am asking you publicly, and it's okay if no one does this, but I would like to get this thing off of me, but I'm having trouble doing it myself. Because that's what the power of the body is for, and the prayers of the saints. We can help you lift it up off. Does anybody, you might say that. I'm not going to ask you to say what it is, but you might be a guinea pig for us this morning and say, yeah, I'm having trouble. Really? Seriously? Tyler? Can you come here? What's your name, buddy?
Marcus.
This guy's name's Marcus. Marcus, could you stand up? Do you mind standing up? And let me totally embarrass you. Marcus is from El Dorado. Who is Marcus? Tell us who Marcus is.
Marcus is 22. He's living down south of town, and he is a son of the living God.
Really? How long has he been a son of the living God?
Since Wednesday.
Marcus just received Jesus this week. Talk about a burden off of him. But he's also in the process of sanctification. And so he responds to this deal and says, I want some help getting some stuff off. You're going to be a yoke helper, knocker, offerer, right, with him. But what we're going to do right now, Marcus, and thanks for standing up and letting us do this. We're not going to do anything weird, but Tyler, you come over here. We're going to pray for him. And I would like for you to pray for Marcus. Is Marcus worth our time? Marcus, you're worth our time. Because you free glorifies God, and you free blesses everybody you're around and spreads the kingdom. So Marcus knows Jesus. He's going to grow in Jesus. And now I'm asking you to be active right there, body of Christ, and help me pray for Marcus now. Do you want to say what it is that you want prayer for, or you want us just to pray? I'll just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Marcus. Thank you for the revelation of Jesus Christ, that he's a disciple now of Jesus. Thank you for his salvation. Thank you that he's born again. Thank you that Tyler and he met at the right place at the right time. And we give credit to you, Spirit. Thank you for this. And now Marcus has a passion to be free. He's experiencing freedom, and we're praying for freedom for our brother. We pray for freedom from everything that might have been in his past life, and any addictive patterns, anything that has been of the flesh that we all know so well. We pray for him to be free, because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So Lord, thank you for freedom for our brother. We pray this week you would help him to be set free from every yoke of bondage, and he would only carry one yoke, the yoke of Jesus. Your burden is light, and your yoke is easy. And we thank you for that. We pray for Marcus now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Marcus. Now, The reason I did that publicly, and some of you may be wondering, is because you can do that privately and with groups. And we want to encourage you. We just want to model you can do that, all right, to be free. Let's all stand up right now. Do you have a song? Do you have a song that fits this? We're going to sing a song of response to this morning and close here in about 3 minutes. But just continue your heart in this process of asking Jesus to give you that rest and to be free from what binds you. Father, we thank you for your precious Son. Thank you for your invitation. Come to me. Give grace to us all to just come. Come by faith, and you give us rest. Thank you for the peace of God that transcends all understanding. The peace, not as the world gives. You give a different peace. We thank you for that. And I praise you that you're freeing us from yokes and burdens that are of man and us. And we take on yours, Jesus. Bless your people as they go. Bless them as they walk out through this day and the days of this week, that we might walk in your yoke and in your burden that is easy and light. We praise you for your grace to us in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.